Why did so many elves stay in Middle-earth when they could just go and live in idyllic Valinor, the Undying Lands? Was it to help save Middle-earth in some way, or for less noble reasons? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you like theories, background, history and lore about The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, this is the place for you. Welcome. At the end of the First Age of Middle-earth, the elves in Middle-earth were invited by the Valar, for the second time, to emigrate to Valinor. Indeed, they were summoned. All past ills were forgiven. The route was made open for all elves, the straight path by ship from the Grey Havens. If they said no and stayed, then eventually they would fade in Middle-earth. It would weary them. Valinor was their true home, where they could live their true immortal lives, and it had everything they needed. It seems like an offer too good to refuse, and yet many, many did refuse. Why? Well, let's start by acknowledging that not all elves are the same. They do tend to be portrayed that way in screen adaptations, but in the Legendarium, elves are as diverse as humans, with many different cultural groups, experiences, and labels. I did a whole other video on that if you're interested. One of the biggest differences is between those who had been to Valinor and felt the light of the two trees, the Caliquindi, and those who hadn't, the Moriquindi. The elves were originally all created and woke in Middle-earth and invited to Valinor. I say invited, it was a strong urging by the Valar. Three groups, the Vanyar, the Noldor, and some of the Teleri, did make it. They became the Caliquindi. But many decided to ignore the call of the Valar and just stay where they were. Some more started on the journey and gave up partway, and some more still hung around for a bit too long on the shore because their king had gone missing and missed the boat, or Mobile Island. There's a story there, obviously, but that's for another video. In time, some of the Caliquindi elves who had been living peacefully in Valinor returned to Middle-earth. These are the Noldor under Feanor, and included people like Galadriel and Celebrimbor, who had been born in Valinor, so going to Middle-earth wasn't so much returning to their home as exploring new lands. So the elves in Middle-earth at the start of the Second Age were a mixed bunch. Some had refused to go to Valinor the first time they'd been asked and stayed in Middle-earth. Some had answered the call but not made it for various reasons. Some had gone to Valinor, then came back. And some had been born in Valinor and headed over to Middle-earth of their own volition. And of course, in time, many of these groups mixed and new generations were born. The point of all this history is that a call to go to Valinor meant different things to different elves. To Noldorin elves, it meant a return to their homeland, to the bliss of youth. But to many in the east and south of Middle-earth, they had never been to Valinor and had lived their entire long, long lives in Middle-earth. There was no emotional pull there or memory of beauty to fall back on. Which is perhaps why the Valar included an element of compulsion in their summons. Take Legolas as an example. He grew up in Middle-earth. He had been alive centuries, perhaps even millennia by the time of the Lord of the Rings. He had never been to Valinor, nor had his ancestors. The thought of going there never seemed to appeal to him, until he first heard the cry of a seagull, which stirred the sea longing in him, the desire to sail west. He says, "The sea. Alas, I have not yet beheld it, but deep in the hearts of all my kindred lies the sea longing, which it is perilous to stir. Alas for the gulls! No peace shall I have again under beech or under elm." Leaving aside the moral complexities of the Valar placing such an overriding imperative into elves' hearts, it seems that many or most of the Moriquindi, those who hadn't seen the light of Valinor, simply didn't feel a desire to leave their home to go somewhere else without it. And many lived so far from the sea that they never felt it. And without such a pull, why would they want to leave? Middle-earth was their home, all they'd ever known. So for Moriquindi elves, the majority of those in Middle-earth, those living in Mirkwood, Lothlorien and so on, the story is actually pretty straightforward. They didn't want to leave Middle-earth because it was their home. Yes, people they know and respect might tell them how amazing Valinor is, but the life they had built was in Middle-earth. But what about the elves of the West, the Caliquindi, who had been to Valinor and perhaps had even been born there, the primarily Noldorin elves? Why did so many of them stay, despite the summons to return? Well, thankfully, Tolkien did address this in one of his letters, letter 131. He says this, There was nothing wrong, essentially, in their lingering against council, still sadly with the mortal lands of their old heroic deeds, but they wanted to have their cake without eating it. They wanted the peace and bliss and perfect memory of the West, and yet to remain on the ordinary earth, where their prestige as the highest people, above wild elves, dwarves and men, was greater than at the bottom of the hierarchy of Valinor. So, at its base, that's the answer. They stayed in Middle-earth because in Middle-earth they were important and respected. If they went back to Valinor, they wouldn't be. They would be just like everyone else. In fact, they would be bottom of the pile. Looked at coldly, that's an understandable, if slightly prideful, position. Enjoying being in a prestigious position and not wanting to lose it. And pride is rarely seen as a good thing in Tolkien's world. Let's take Galadriel as an example here. She was born in Valinor, and we read that she first went to Middle-earth because, as we read in Unfinished Tales, she was proud, strong and self-willed, as were all the descendants of Finwë, save Finarfin, and like her brother Finrod, of all her kin the nearest to her heart, she had dreams of far lands and dominions that might be her own to order as she would, without tutelage. She went to Middle-earth, at least in part, because she wanted to rule. Then, at the end of the First Age, after the War of Wrath, she stayed. Tolkien changed his mind a bit about whether this was enforced or not. Her importance as a character, and hence whether the Valar might single her out, grew over time in the Legendarium. But in all accounts, she wanted to stay. And she built herself up to the point where, by the second half of the Third Age, she was ruling Lothlórien with her husband Celeborn. It is only at the end of the Third Age, when Frodo offers her the ring and she passes the test, that she manages to get past this prideful position. The test is clearly about whether she still seeks power. She lists all the things she would be as a queen, dreadful as the storm and the lightning, stronger than the foundations of the earth, you know the speech, and having resisted temptation, she says, and this is the important bit for this video, "I will diminish and pass into the West, and remain Galadriel." She sees leaving Middle-earth and going to Valinor as a diminishing, although also perhaps an embracing of humility. In Middle-earth, she was the ruler of a land and one of the most powerful beings in all of Middle-earth. Heading back to Valinor, she wouldn't be ruling anywhere anymore. She wouldn't even be particularly powerful, given all the Valar and Maiar and even more ancient elves there. So she refused to go back to Valinor until she eventually grew wise and humble enough to accept that new, lower position. It's worth noting that Galadriel and the Kalaquendi elves who stayed in Middle-earth did try to proactively preserve Middle-earth and make it better. They implicitly recognised that although they wanted to stay in Middle-earth, Valinor was a better place, or, more precisely, a more appropriate place for them. Middle-earth was an endless cycle of birth, death, and rebirth. Humans were born, lived, and died in the blink of an eye for an elf. Nature bloomed and shriveled and hibernated and bloomed once more, endless times, while the elves just carried on. Not like in Valinor. Valinor was endless, like they were. Tolkien didn't use these words, but it suited their life rhythm in a way that Middle-earth never could. So they tried to recreate a bit of Valinor in Middle-earth to make it work better for them. The biggest example of this instinct is perhaps with Celebrimbor, the greatest smith of his age and the elves of Eregion. In the Silmarillion we read that they were not at peace in their hearts, since they had refused to return into the West, and they desired both to stay in Middle-earth, which indeed they loved, and yet to enjoy the bliss of those that had departed. So Sauron, disguised as Annatar, played on this. He told them that, "Since you have not returned thither, as you might, I perceive that you love this Middle-earth, as do I. Is it not then our task to labour together for its enrichment, and for the raising of all the elven kindreds that wander here untaught to the height of that power and knowledge which those have who are beyond the sea?" Simply put, he tempted them with exactly what they wanted, to keep their position of power and prestige in Middle-earth, while also replicating some of the glory and wonder of Valinor. The irony here, of course, is that although Sauron was plotting the doom of the elves, what flowed from Sauron's temptations for the elves in the long run were what we know as the Three Elven Rings, Nenya, Narya, and Vilya, and they did indeed preserve the elves of the West for long enough in Middle-earth, in Rivendell and Lothlorien, that they led directly to Sauron's own downfall. Galadriel and Elrond used their rings to preserve their areas of control against the ravages of time, which is why, when the controlling One Ring was destroyed, Rivendell and Lothlorien withered and died. Middle-earth was not the natural home for elves on Arda. Their immortal spirits belonged in an immortal, undying land, but many did stay in Middle-earth, clinging on in increasingly small enclaves where they could hold back time for a while. They stayed for many reasons. Most stayed simply because it was their home and all they ever knew or wanted. They often only returned when overtaken by the sea longing the Valar had placed in them. Others, those who had experienced the glory of Valinor, stayed because in Middle-earth they were important, and they had grown to love the land and the prestige they felt within it. They only returned when they had the humility to accept a lower status in Valinor, or they felt themselves fade in a land that wasn't for them. Finally, there were a few, and these are probably my favourites of the elves, who stayed not because they didn't want to go to Valinor, they often dearly, dearly did want to go there, but because they felt they had a mission to serve and help others. Círdan, who stayed to build ships so that all could travel to Valinor. Glorfindel, who returned to Middle-earth to oppose the forces of evil for a time. And probably also Elrond, who stayed, caring generation after generation for the exiles of Arnor, waiting for the one returning king who could stand against Sauron and lead humanity wisely into the dominion of man. Elves, like humans, had a variety of reasons for what they did. Some noble, some prideful, some a complex mix of everything. Why didn't the elves just go to Valinor if it was so much better? For the best of reasons and the worst of reasons, and almost everything in between. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.